get lost in you. So anyone who finds me first finds you. I wanna be one with you. Where I end, you begin and keep on going. I wanna breathe you in. So every time I breathe out, you're
Hi, I'm Mike Spaulding. Welcome to the Transforming Word radio program. I consider it a great privilege to teach God's Word to you each day. Today we will be studying in the book of 1 Timothy, where we will find many of the great doctrines of church, life, and practice spelled out. Open your Bibles and join me now for another study in the Word. My prayer is that God will transform your heart as you consider all that He speaks to you today.
But even more so, the one that God calls to lead His people, the overseer, the pastor. Prudent, respectable, that means orderly, godly, good behavior. Hospitable. In a sense, this has to do with the time in which it was written. Remember that the church met in homes. And there would be traveling evangelists. Paul was one. Well, they didn't have hotels. People were put up in people's homes. And so it has a cultural aspect, but I think there's something to be said about that today. Open up your homes for fellowship. Don't keep people out of your lives. And I think that's why some people don't open up their homes, because it's like, well, I don't really want them seeing how I live. Well, maybe you need to change some things then. Because if you think you're hiding something from God, are you kidding me? You know, when I was a kid, I used to try and figure out how do mom and dad find stuff out all the time? They just have a knack. I couldn't do nothing without getting busted. How do they know that? I think that's where that came from, your eyes in the back of your head. Do you have spies in the neighborhood, Mom? How do you do that? She'd know stuff I did before I got home. How does that work? Well, God's the same way, brothers and sisters. If you think you're hiding something from Him, you're not hiding anything from Him. It's called sisters. Not my sisters. They would never do that. But you're to be temperate, prudent, respectable, hospitable, and here's a big one, able to teach. Now, that doesn't mean that as soon as you get saved, you're just going to pop open the Bible and wax eloquent. No. But God will gift you with the ability to teach. And here's what I've come to understand. I believe I have the gift of teaching. But what I've come to understand is all of the sacrifice, all of the time that goes in to preparing a teaching is a labor of love. Because God gives you a passion for it, and it is satisfying to you. And you can apply that with any of His gifts. He will gift you in a way that you enjoy performing the gift. If it's a real burden, then you might want to reconsider, did He really give you that gift, even though you may think you have it? Sometimes we have square pegs in round holes. And people are trying to do something they're not really gifted to do. Then it becomes a labor, it becomes a burden. So the pastor is able to teach. Not addicted to wine. You know, he could have said an abstainer from wine, but he didn't. See, one of the beautiful things about teaching through the Scripture verse by verse by verse is that you can't avoid anything. Now, I don't drink alcohol. That's my decision not to do that. And I don't do it for a number of reasons. When my kids were younger, it was as a testimony to them. I did not want them seeing alcohol in my home. Now that my kids are older, my baby's 23 years old, I don't do it as a testimony to Lima, to St. Mary's, to my family, to the community. Because I don't want anybody walking in and say, "Yeah, I saw Pastor Mike. He was over there at the Texas Roadhouse. Boy, he was throwing them back." No. Mm-mm. You'll never. Yeah, this, you can't picture that, can you? That's what makes it so funny. Because if somebody told you that, you'd go, "He's got a twin someplace," because I know that wasn't him. Because he's an abstainer. But listen, here's the deal. I'm an abstainer by choice. I'm not an abstainer because the scripture says I can't. So you have the freedom to. That's why I'm so fond of saying, I am so glad I'm not the Holy Spirit. You do what you believe you have the freedom to do according to God's word and the leading of the Holy Spirit, but that's on you. See, I don't have to pontificate from the pulpit. I don't have to say, "Thou shalt not." That's God's job. And he's much better at it than me. Because if you think I make you feel guilty sometimes, you ain't seen nothing till the hound of heaven gets on your tracks. You can't shake him. And he will not leave you alone. To the praise of his glory. I don't want to be left alone when I'm doing something wrong and I'm trying to justify it. Track me down, drag me, wrestle me down and put my hips out of joint. Stop me before I hurt myself or others. Or pugnacious. What does that mean? Well, that's one of those old-time words for violent. But, or instead of those things, you are to be gentle. You know when you're in the presence of a gentle spirit, don't you? Yeah. You know when you're being treated gently by someone. Peaceable. In other words, not quarrelsome. I know some folks, man, they love to argue about anything. It doesn't matter. They may believe the same thing you do, but for the sake of the argument, they're going to take the other position. Maybe you know some people like that. They just like to argue. Don't be that guy. Peaceable. Free from the love of money. Well, we could camp out all day right there, couldn't we? There is a large segment of the church today that is captured by the love of money. In fact, there, right here in this community this morning, there are pastors teaching that you should desire money. You should desire wealth. You should chase riches. Really? That's heresy, brothers and sisters. That is false teaching. We have a saying. Now, the Bible says that the love of money is what? The root of all evil. Now, we have a saying that captures that. There are so many phrases in the popular culture, and people don't even realize they have biblical roots. But there's a saying, and we know it's true, and it's a bit cynical, but it's true. When you're talking about something and it seems a little odd or underhanded or whatever, you say, "Well, all you need to do is what? Follow the money." Well, what is that saying in essence? It's saying that money is the driver for this. That's why they're doing that. Well, that's the same thing. The love of money is the root of all evil. Pastors are not to be in love with money. If pastors get caught up in that, that is a treadmill that's very hard to get off of. That's why I don't concern myself about money. I do not. I know nothing about money except what the treasurer gives me on the budget. When she prints it out and I get it, here's what we have in the bank, here's what we paid, and I get all of those line items and I look at it. But beyond that, I don't. If we have enough money in our bank account to pay the bills, I'm happy. If we have enough money in the bank account to meet people's needs that we have in the fellowship, then we're doing exactly what God's told us to do. But to beg and cajole and threaten people to continue to give money so that we can have a bigger campus, a bigger building, or that I can finally get that Mercedes I've got my eye on. I'm just kidding. I'm not. I don't have my eye on a Mercedes. It's a Lexus, but no, I'm. Some people say that. I joke about it, but there are pastors. They'll listen. There are churches right here in Lima. They'll pass the plate 3 or 4 times because I know there's somebody out there who's got $1,000 and they ain't giving it up. Now, come on. You think I'm joking? I'm not joking. That, brothers and sisters, grieves God's heart. Because here's the deal. You notice we don't pass a plate? You know why? Because your giving must become a spiritual discipline in order for it to be pleasing to God. That's my philosophy. Don't give because... Is anybody watching? I've got to put something in because, you know, it's going down the aisle and people. I know people are watching. Well, the ushers are standing right there looking at me. No. Every time I think of that, I think about that movie Flywheel. Anybody seen Flywheel? The guy comes to church with his offering envelope and he's just waiting for the plate to come past. And he lets us in on the secret in the movie, right? Before the plate gets there, he opens the envelope up. There's not one penny in that envelope, in that offering envelope, but he makes sure that he puts it in there because he wants everybody else to see him. If you're giving so that people can see you, that's not honoring to God, and he's not going to bless you for it. We have an offering box in the back. If you want to support the work of this ministry, or if you feel led that God is saying, I want you to give today, then do it. But that's between you and the Lord. And what that does over time is that develops a spiritual discipline in your life, and then you begin to do it out of joy. It's not a have to anymore. It's a get to. Now, we're not going to get to the place where we're going to hold this separate time where everybody's dancing and running back to the offering box to put their money into the big show. No, no, no. Because I know some of you are thinking, oh, well, if it's such joy, why don't we just make this big... No. That's not what I'm saying. Kathy and I put our offering in the box and y'all ain't even here. But I ain't saying. Free from the love of money. Brothers and sisters, don't get caught in that trap. It'll shipwreck you. He must be one who manages his own household well, keeping his children under control with all dignity. Does that mean you're going to be a perfect parent? Absolutely not. Do we have any perfect parents here, by the way? I didn't think so. You're not a perfect parent. Your kids will tell you that if you ask them. But you know what? What goes around comes around. Because all that blather they gave you about not being a good parent, guess what they end up with? Kids that tell them, man, you're not a very good parent. Yeah, how's it feel? Keep your children under control with all dignity. It doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. It means you're going to be steadfast in raising them in a godly way. But if a man does not know how to manage his own household, how will he take care of the church of God? Notice that's in parentheses. So that's like an afterthought. He's saying, listen, this is why that's important. Because you can't manage your home, it's a little hard to see how you're going to do it in the church. And not a new convert. Why should we not lay hands on a new convert and ordain them to the gospel ministry? Because you need to give them a little time to see whether or not they're really going to stick with it. I mean, that was one of the points that Jesus made in Matthew 13, the parable of the sower and the seeds, was it not? Some seed fell beside the road on the rocky places, and it didn't really amount to anything. Well, I've seen folks in 28 years that, man, they got saved like, boom! Woo! They were on fire! Excited! They were at the church every time the door was open. They volunteered for everything, and 3 months later, have you seen Tom anywhere? I haven't seen him in about 3 weeks. Don't lay hands on somebody quickly. And some of you know that I take that to heart. If you've showed up here and you keep coming back 2-3 times, I'm watching you. What do you mean by that, Mike? You're freaking me out. I mean, I'm watching you. Are you here because you want to be here because you see in this place a family that you want to be a part of? Are you here because God's leading you here? Are you here because you like the worship, you like the teaching, you want to investigate further? Or are you here with an agenda? Are you here because you're going to set me straight on what the Bible really says about this or that? Or you're going to come here and say, now this is the way church is supposed to be done. Listen, if that's why you're here, don't come back. And I mean that sincerely. I'm not being flippant about that. We are a people of conviction about what the Scripture says. We take the authority of the Word of God very seriously. And I am a serious under-shepherd. Those of you who've been here for any length of time, you understand that. My job is to protect the sheep. That's my job. And I take it seriously. No wolves allowed. Amen. You come in here and I see any fangs, you're going to get a talking to. And I'm not threatening you. I'm just giving you a promise. I take it very seriously. No heresy, no false doctrine, no false teaching, no agendas, no strife, discord, division, not happening here. Because if I see it, I'm going to address it, and if you don't like it, there's the door. Because that's not what this is about. This is about a family. And we are a family. You know, the proof of being a family is that you learn to put up with each other. Praise God is right. You learn to deal with each other. Nobody gets along perfectly all the time, do we? No, we all have ups and downs. But that's okay. That's part of being a human in a family. But if a man does not know how to manage his own household, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a new convert, so that he will not become conceited and fall into condemnation incurred by the devil. Man, isn't that true? How many of you have known pastors in the past, man, they thought they walked on water? Well, what's the saying around here? I've told you this, I don't know how many times. Don't put me on a pedestal. Do not make that mistake. I do not walk on water. I am not omniscient. Don't make that mistake. If you put me on a pedestal, you're the one that's going to get hurt because I'm going to disappoint you at some point. It's just going to happen. And I don't say that trying to sound pious. I'm trying to warn you against yourself. Because when you put me on a pedestal, you get hurt. It's not my fault. I told you not to do it in the first place. I put my pants on one leg at a time, just like you. Now, God's called me to this, yes. And it is a high office. And I take it very seriously. But that doesn't mean that when I stride into a room, there's this aura. Can save all that. And that goes along the line. I'm going to have to quit here. We're not going to get any further. You know that, don't you? Because I'm smelling the food. You smelling it? My stomach's starting to rumble. But let me just say this. Don't try and butter me up. I see through that quick. Don't try and flatter me. Now, I appreciate when God's blessed you through a teaching. And you say, Mike, that was an awesome teaching. I appreciate that. But I'm going to give the glory to God because, listen, I'm just teaching. The Holy Spirit's making the application in your life. It's the Holy Spirit. It's your relationship with God. He is sanctifying you through the Word, not Pastor Mike. So you don't need to treat me like anything special. I appreciate your respect. I really do. But don't think you can play a game because that ain't going to work. I've had that done I don't know how many times before, and I just look at people like, really? Are you really trying that? That don't work. Anyway, we'll pick up this teaching next week in verse 7 of 1 Timothy chapter 3. You can read ahead if you want to. We'll get through the remainder of that chapter. And then we'll get into chapter 4. Now, this got a lot of good things to say in chapter 4 about where we're at today in the world. What's going on in politics and economics and the government and all of those things? Chapter 4 talks about that. You might be surprised what you're going to... Well, now I think you've learned not to be surprised what you hear come out of my mouth. But you might be surprised at some of the stuff that we tie this to. It's going to be very interesting. So let's pray for our fellowship time to follow this, and we'll go down and eat. Oh, one announcement. Let me share one announcement. How about that, Paul? Paul's doing the nursery next week. So if there is another gentleman that would like to join him in the nursery and have fun with the babies and the toddlers, he would much appreciate that help. Paul, you want to raise your hand? There you go. See Paul. Troy, you want to help him? Amen. There you go. You and Troy. See how easy that was? Thank you, Troy. Appreciate that. Well, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being our God. Lord, for saving us from ourselves, from the sin, Lord, that separated us. Lord, we pray that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit for everything that we need in this life, day by day, Lord, moment by moment. Thank you, Lord, for your word. For the truth, Lord, that helps us to discern. Father, I pray that you would continue to bless this body of believers. You have done so much already, Lord, and we are so thankful. And yet we know that as long as you tarry, there are things for us to do. And we know, Lord, that we want to do them for your glory and for your honor. Help us to point people to you, Lord. Thank you for this morning, for those that came forward for baptism, Lord. I pray that you would bless them today and in their walk. I thank you, Lord, for the food that we're about to share in the fellowship time, Father, that it would be a blessing to all. Help us to draw closer together as a family, Lord, a special work that you have done in our lives. Although we all have different stories and backgrounds, we've all had different failures and experiences and triumphs, yet we all share the common bond of faith in Christ. So, Father, bless us and bless this food, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
I want to get lost in you, so anyone who finds me first finds you.
That's all we have time for today on the Transforming Word radio program. I hope today's study encouraged you to study the Bible for yourself. Remember, friends, faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. The Transforming Word radio program is an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel of Lima. Our service times are Sundays at 10:30 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We meet at 682 West Grand Avenue in Lima. You may join all of our services live through our internet broadcast at www.cclohio.org. Click Watch Us Live and be a part of our internet family. For more information about the Transforming Word radio ministry, write us at the Transforming Word, 682 West Grand Avenue, Lima, Ohio, 45801. When you write, please mention the call letters of this station. You may also contact me directly by email at the following address, pastormike@cclohio.org. Join us again tomorrow for another great study in the Bible. God bless you today as you seek Him.